Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Ball game. Cubs win.
They finish off a three-game sweep over the White Sox.
Sing that song.
Have to hear that song again.
Friends in the stands, talking to people with White Sox jerseys on, White Sox fans talking to guys with Cubs jerseys on. So I think it's a great, great atmosphere for fans.
A White Sox winner and a world championship. The White Sox have won the World Series.
Chicago, second team no more.
And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
The city of Chicago erupted. It was a thrilling, emotional time. And we think we even saw some White Sox fans smiling, which, Mr. President, brings us to you.
That's enough of that, Lackey. That's enough of that BS.
Jimenez in the air, left field. He's your hero tonight. Welcome to Wrigley. Thanks, Cubs.
I just hate Wrigley Field.
They got rats bigger than pigs.
There's always an edge to the fan base here at this park. Part of the issue at Wrigley Field is everyone's had so much fun, they don't even know what the score is, nor do they care.
We told you, Willie loves hitting against the White Sox.
That's higher than the ball.
Going to Wrigley Field is kind of like an event, or let's go to a party. Coming here to the South Side is, I had a bad day at work, and I'm going to take it out on everybody at the ballpark.
Michael Jordan has tied up the ball game with a ground double to left. And this crowd has seen what it came here for.
White Sox take the lead. AJ Pierzynski says, take that, Cubs fans.
Pierzynski knocked over the catcher, Barrett. There's a fight behind home plate. Barrett punched Pierzynski right in the grill.
Those guys up north, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be good for a while. And I don't like the Cubs. And it's going to be great to see our guys come out there and kick some Cub ass, I'm telling you right now.
Cubs versus White Sox fans.
You're a damn liar. Goodbye.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Boy, do we have a show for you today. The whole crew is in the house. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Oh, man, did I love that. Hello from Chris Tannehill. Man, we are lucky to live in this two-team town in terms of baseball with different fan bases, ballpark experiences, and genuine rivalry between the fan bases. I saw people in my building wearing White Sox gear today, like ready to represent.
Yeah, put your colors on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is.
It is.
And the Cubs are the Cubs. The White Sox have turned a corner as an org, as I've been saying for a while now. And on the big league field, they've won 5 of 6. They've scored more runs than any team in baseball since the All-Star break. Number one with 49 runs scored. They've only played 6 games. A lot of teams have played 7, and they've only played 6, and they've scored more runs than anybody. This should be fun as hell tonight. Imanaga and Adrian Hauser to kick things off.
I hope that the weather allows for there to not be any disruption. Like, I don't mind if the game starts late, but I don't want it to start and then there be, like, not that I can control it. Roger Bosser can. He can make a call to the Pope that can call God.
Sodfather's in charge.
Yeah. You know, like, I want to make sure that this game gets played in its entirety and there's not any issues. Like, well, the bullpen, we had to do this because the starter sat for an hour. Like, nothing like that.
I regret that I will not be hosting Hit and Run on Sunday morning. But that's... I know. Sorry, Chuck. But
I'm
that's,
doing it.
Are you doing it?
No.
Oh, you'd be great at it.
Thank you. It's very nice of you to say.
You'd kill that. I don't know. Actually, I don't know who's doing it. Because I'm doing pregame, postgame, and the fifth inning of play-by-play right here.
All right.
Why
didn't you tell us this until now?
I am. I'm telling you right now because we got a lot of stuff going on. We're busy people. But, Sunday I get pre-post in the fifth inning.
Did you just remember?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Did Christine just text you and tell you?
It's this Sunday. You're not doing the anthem yet. You're doing... No, she didn't, but she's usually on the case with that. But I get to be part of the Cubs radio crew for Cubs Sox on the South Side. Let's effing go, man.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that you're going to have that opportunity.
Thank you, my dude.
That's fun stuff. Oh, we're going to talk with Steve Stone in about 12 minutes, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. Tim Hardaway is going to be in studio. I didn't bring a ball, so we can ask him about the killer crossover. That's something that we're going to do.
The man has skills.
Mad skills. I'm just trying to keep him away from Alex. When it'll be your responsibility to get Mr. Hardaway up here, because at some point, someone downstairs is going to ask,
does he
like hip hop music?
Mm-hmm.
And would he like to invest? Never mind. Anyway,
are we in the chatty security guard formation? Are we today?
We are.
It doesn't look from
Adam Amin caught it last time, so
it doesn't look like. I think we're going to be okay rotationally there from that particular thing that goes on.
Get him in the back.
Shout out to my guy Smitty.
So who's the enforcer here? Who's Tim Hardaway's enforcer? Who's the big man that can block somebody out?
I got him. Rick Mahorn. He's coming in to do the job. I don't think they were ever teammates, but Mahorn is still ready to do the job.
Let's get Twan Walker. We just get two Southsiders.
That's
just
a great call.
Have him walking through, and he can take care of it. But I'm sure that guy would
phenomenal.
This is the same guy would be like, "Yo, Twan,
I want that visual of Antoine Walker." Antoine Walker setting picks on the security guard for Tim Hardaway to go by untouched.
He's going to have to. Yeah. All right. So look, there's Bear stuff for us to talk about for a few minutes before we talk with Stoney. And let me just preface this with, and you know me, Spiegs, I am the mayor of Worrytown, but I also am a pragmatist, okay? It is only a few days of Bears practice that's gone on, and we need to keep that into perspective, that this is a new offense that Caleb Williams is running, and that needs to be kept into perspective.
Yeah, because people are freaking out about stats.
Yeah, that part I don't like. But
it's the inaccuracy.
It's, yes.
And some of the sloppiness as he gets adjusted and accustomed and the media is getting a chance to watch.
I think that a lot of this, at least through the first week of practice. So let's call it the first five practices, okay?
Okay.
So what, we're through three?
The first five practices. Just wanted to call it. Were you all calling that together?
His name was Robert Ball.
Exactly right.
So they'll have a padded practice on Monday. So look at it that way and say, okay, now that you have an idea of what is being asked of you, how do you do? And I think that if we're in the same place next week where a lot of the reports are like, things are not going great, you would be surprised at how many of those texts, not you, because I told you.
Right, so I will not be surprised.
But you, the Score listener, would be surprised at how many text messages I've gotten over the last couple of days and be like, a little pitchy, dog.
So, because usually, you, as the mayor of Worrytown, it's been about, injuries or Ryan Poles or things like that. This is a broader topic, like, is our number one QB pick going to be bad?
Yeah, and it's
like, little, that's scary.
It's still a little early for that level of, like, the DEFCON level doesn't need to be dropped to that point. And you do have to keep in mind that this is new, and they're asking him to do stuff that he wasn't doing.
All right, good.
And there is a level of expectation.
You sound like a Worrytown mayor who is simply just trying to hold everything steady. You're not looking to attract more people. You're not out there selling Worrytown.
Right. But we did
this
get...
This is the mayor talking.
All right.
There he is.
Oh, I got my own thing now?
The mayor of Worrytown.
Oh, that's very nice of you guys.
I believe he has higher political aspirations.
Yes.
I believe he wants to be the governor of the entire state of Worry. But Worrytown.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Yes, Worry is the state. Worrytown is not too far from the county seat
of Worryville,
the metropolis that is Worryville.
The plan is to put a shovel on the ground.
Well, you're running out of time for that.
Yeah.
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Lawrence is out here wanting to get cranes in the air in Worrytown and build it up with those political aspirations. But I'm not ready to go to Worrytown about Caleb Williams just yet.
Oh, well, perhaps I could interest you in something else to go to Worrytown about.
Okay.
You know how we talked with Jalen Johnson? And remember how they were like, oh, well, he's going to be down for...
3 weeks.
Well, they didn't say 3 weeks. People assumed 3 weeks.
He said a few weeks. A few is three.
I've always felt that a few is four, but whatevs. now we have a better understanding of how long Jalen Johnson is going to be out, that courtesy of one Brad Biggs.
You kind of use your decoder when football coaches talk about injuries, right? When they open up with he's plural weeks for Jalen Johnson, okay, the first thing that pops into my mind is, okay, he's out a month.
Oh.
This is the man talking.
All right, all right.
The music is very, I was going to say presidential. I guess it's mayoral.
Sure.
We all know Lawrence has aspirations to go much higher than mayor of Worry Town. We all know that. And other things as well.
The governor of Worry.
The governor of Worry itself.
When's the primary for the governor's spot?
That's
the gubernatorial primary.
Alex, you are the producer. You should know this.
Alex,
stuff.
It's the Tuesday after Labor Day. That's when it is.
I just can't believe Lawrence has already subcontracted out all the parking meters in Worry Town.
That's a questionable deal. That's a questionable deal.
For 99 years, Danny. For 99 years.
Why so long?
It really didn't make any sense.
It really
doesn't. Talk about not being able to get out of something.
And like, it's a company from Germany or something, right?
Yeah, it's not great.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
My God.
I dig that.
All right, so... Yeah, I was going to be worried at 5 weeks. I told you 5 weeks I'd worry, and I'd be interested in some of your vacant lots. Although I worry about those vacant lots.
Which is why we have a nice one-bedroom condo for you over right above the vacant lots.
I love yesterday Jason Leisure said, see, you're worried about what's in the vacant lots. You'll fit right in over there in Worry Town.
I also had someone who was up at Hallis, who listens to this show, text me and say, Worry Town is way underpopulated. Way.
In terms of Jalen or in terms
in
of...
the whole thing up there.
What I don't like is when worry is cynicism. You said you're a pragmatist.
And I'm skeptical.
And skeptical. So that's where we are. Like, you got to figure out how much is skepticism, how much is pragmatism, and how much is lazy cynicism. And I will give you credit for not being lazy when it comes to cynicism. I've seen that before, and I've accused other people of that before.
I think we're thinking of the same person.
Some of them worked on this very radio station, etc. But you're not doing that, so that's why you're the mayor.
We're hoping, you know, we'll see after the primary on Tuesday after Labor Day kind of where things stand. But I feel like I'm going to have a lot of support by then. I hope that I don't. I hope that I can abdicate the role of mayor of Worry Town.
Well, because 4 weeks for Jalen Johnson means he misses both joint practices. And he needs as much practice rolling joints as anybody, I would assume.
Wow.
I'm just saying what joint practice. No. So he would.
Alex is going to get all of that practice.
He really is.
He's going to the joint practices.
But the joint practices are a big deal.
They are a big deal.
With the other teams. He's going to miss that.
I've already run through my scenario on this, that the thing that is keeping me up at night, the idea of, Jalen misses 4 weeks. And then it's like, hey, is he going to play in that last preseason game? No, we'll simulate all the stuff that he needs in practice. Oh, okay. And then Monday night comes up and they're like, well, we put Tyreek on Justin Jefferson because, you know, Jalen wasn't quite ready. And then Jordan Addison goes for 150 and two tutties, unless, of course, he gets popped for that DUI and then he gets suspended for 3 weeks.
All right.
And then on Tuesday on all the national shows is J.J. McCarthy better than Caleb Williams?
All right, $50 says Jalen Johnson plays 90% of the snaps on that Monday night. 95% of the snaps on that Monday night.
Okay.
Want to make that deal?
I will take that bet.
Okay.
I will take that bet. Are we donating it or are we just like, this is just me and you?
How about lunch for the show?
I dig that. Let's do that.
Lunch for the show. I'd say that Jalen Johnson will be playing, 90% of the snaps?
That's your number.
Yeah.
I'll take that number.
All right, 90% of the snaps on the opener on Monday night for Jalen Johnson against the Vikings. Regardless of how this camp works out.
I dig that. That's a fair bet. All fair right, bet.
Done deal.
We will do that. And we need to take a break because we need to talk with Stoney because the Cubs and the White Sox are playing tonight. And it also gives us an opportunity to talk with Stoney about his history as a broadcaster here in the city, especially with a lot of people thinking about Ryne Sandberg. So we will talk with Stoney about all those things next here on The Score.
Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
I draw throw down.
No way!
He never tagged him.
He stopped short of the bag to avoid the tag. What a slide.
Ooh, put on the brakes. Chase, nice job.
What a slide.
Cy Young Award winner.
Hello again, everybody. Harry Carey and Steve Stone. We're at Wrigley Field.
It is Ryan Sandberg Day. They're honoring perhaps one of the greatest second basemen in baseball history.
Line shot in the left field. Sandberg singles to left.
Well, Cairo is loosening up, and it looked like Cairo will come in and pinch run for Rhino, and they'll allow Rhino to get a final standing ovation here at Wrigley Field.
Listen to this. That's what they should have done in the ninth inning yesterday. Everybody on their feet. Look at that. Does that tell you a story about the man's popularity? What a way to end a spectacular 15-year career.
Hey!
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
Steve Stone with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking with Stoney. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. The Cubs and the Sox will be playing tonight on the South Side. For those of you who do not have cable and you do not stream, you can actually watch the game on WCIU if you want to see the White Sox call of the game, a new 7-game deal between WCIU and CHSN and the White Sox. Hey, Stoney.
Lawrence, how you doing? You know, you guys played that clip, and it reminded me of something that I had forgotten. I loved when Harry said, listen to the crowd, and then he talked over it. It was just wonderful. It was one of the real endearing things that Harry did. You know, listen to the crowd, and then he kept on talking. So that was good.
Stoney, you've lived so many lives, and it's amazing. Like, when this week when we were talking about Ozzy Osbourne, if you go back and watch the video of him singing the seventh inning stretch, there's Steve Stone standing there marveling at what was going on. Do you remember that? And what was going through your head if you do?
Well, I remember it clearly for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the whole thing when he messed up, you know, take me out to the ball game, that was an act. First of all, he's a professional singer, as we know. And he was a wonderful singer, and I certainly love Black Sabbath. But also, he had the words that were taped right on the monitor that was right in front of him. So if he wanted to sing those words, he could have. But he chose not to because he wanted to make it a show. And Ozzy was nothing if not a showman. And also, something that I don't think people realize, because let's face it, I've been fortunate to be able to meet a great many people through baseball, whether it's going to the White House and meeting a number of presidents or meeting luminaries, you know, music people, actors and whatever. But Ozzy and Sharon were two of the nicest people that ever came to the booth. It was unbelievable. I would have never have thought of that because he had this crazy reputation and he was a little bit different. But they went and thanked everybody in the booth for allowing them to come up there. They were just so sweet and so kind. It left an indelible impression on me. And I've told this story a number of different times, obviously before Ozzy passed away and when he had his reality show, one of the first reality shows, by the way, which was somewhat unusual. But yeah, I've been very fortunate to be able to meet a lot of people that I never would have met were it not for baseball.
Stoney, one of the guys that you got to watch so much of, and Tanny had the clip in there in the open about Ryan Sandberg. A lot of the baseball community in conversation and in touch with each other about Rhino and his health. And I wonder what you think about as those conversations have been ongoing about the greatness that you got to watch for so long.
Well, first of all, I thought he was a terrific guy, and we played golf a number of times together. I remember playing in a number of tournaments with him, and he was a pretty good golfer. So it was that was kind of nice. Yeah, it's just anytime you're making the battle that he's trying to make, it's a very difficult thing. And I always really liked him and respected him. You know, it was interesting because there is a story that probably hasn't been told near enough, and it had to do with Dallas Green, who always said he would have never made the Philadelphia trade if Ryan Sandberg wasn't included in that. But there's another side to the story. There was a super scout by the name of Huey Alexander who always followed Dallas wherever he went. And Huey used to be a great baseball player. He actually lost a hand and became a wonderful scout. And he was the guy in the middle of making that deal. And the initial guy that Dallas wanted was Louis Aguayo. And there was no way they were going to make him because they were getting Ivan De Jesus back. Larry Bowe was coming to the Cubs. And they didn't want to trade Louis Aguayo because if something happened, Louis was going to be their number one shortstop. If you know that didn't work out quite what they wanted the way it to work out, so it was not necessarily Sandberg because the reports on Sandberg were that he probably didn't have the arm for a major league shortstop. And you know what? They were right. However, the reports didn't say he's going to the Hall of Fame as a major league second baseman. Because if you remember, when he got to the Cubs, he was a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they played him first. But he didn't have that great arm. He had a good enough arm. He had a plus arm probably for second, but a minus arm for both third and for short. But as it turned out, Dallas did make the deal. He wanted Larry Bowa on the team. He got Ryan Sandberg as the extra man in the deal, and that worked out really well for the Cubs and for Rhino and for everybody associated with Chicago baseball because he was just a wonderful man, still is a wonderful man, and just a great player.
Steve Stone with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. Cubs Sox tonight on the South Side. The White Sox have won 5 out of 6. What has impressed you most about the team in this run here?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things. And one is, you know, last year when they set the all-time modern record for losses, you looked at that team and you realized there wasn't a whole lot of people you could bring forward. In other words, what you had last year was what you had pretty much, and obviously it didn't work out real well. Looking at the team this year, one of the first things you noticed is, number one, they had some very young players. And now you're starting to notice that they have some guys that they can bring forward. Mydrop appears to me to be a major league second baseman. I would think that Montgomery at this point, especially after taking that time off and reworking his stroke and getting the footwork down that he needed at shortstop and everything else, looked like Colson Montgomery is going to be the everyday shortstop. So there's a couple of guys that you look for that they really, you know, they weren't here last year. You couldn't view them being part of the future, but you can now. Vargas, after changing his hand position, has shown that he's got some skills and it looks like he's going to be able to go forward with the team. Last year, he couldn't do much. In the beginning of this year, he didn't do much. And all of a sudden, they changed the hand position and things turned out well. So there's a lot of younger players that you say to yourself, you know what, there's a chance. Taylor is one of those guys. You don't know where he's going to be. My personal preference would be in the back end of the bullpen because I think there's an inordinate amount of talented starters in this group. Plus, they got a couple more in the minor leagues who are pretty good also. One of the things they don't have is those couple of back end bullpen guys, that premier setup man, that premier closer that you really need. And I think Taylor is one of those guys that could probably do that. But that remains to be seen. We'll see exactly what happens. But I think we've seen good young pitching. It's getting better. The team is starting to play. The interesting part about it is, with Tauchman back and healthy in the leadoff spot and Mydrop hitting second, Luis Robert is starting to hit, and all of a sudden this team looks like they're a fairly solid baseball team. I'm not going to call them a good baseball team because they're far from that at this point. However, they're starting to show some signs that there has been some progress, that what the front office was telling us and the additions to the front office as far as talent evaluators are concerned have really started to look pretty good. And the trades that Chris Getz has made, that Boston trade is going to turn out to be a wonderful trade for both teams, which is what you're looking for. And so there's some young guys who you can view going forward with a couple of additions here and there, and we'll see what comes out of this draft.
The starter tonight, bringing in Adrian Hauser, looks like it can be something really good for the White Sox, too, because he's been great this year, and you would imagine that they are fielding phone calls about him from teams that are in a position to compete. What's been the reason why Hauser's been so good?
Well, he changed a lot of different things. He changed his body. He changed his diet. He did a lot of different things, and he went over and reworked his pitching motion, and all of a sudden, He's added a couple more miles an hour. The command is what's been so impressive about him. It looks like he can throw the ball exactly where he wants it anytime he wants to do that. And, you know, he had some pretty good moments with Milwaukee. He wasn't the pitcher he's been in these starts for the Sox, but he was a pretty good pitcher. I think he was 10-6 one year. He was pretty decent, and they had a lot of talented arms at the time. Then he fell on some hard times and all of a sudden reworked things. And now I would think Chris Getz is getting a cauliflower ear from talking on the phone about Adrian Hauser. For me, you tell me one contending team that couldn't use a probably a high number two as far as the starter is concerned. And I think Hauser has been that and maybe a low number one. I mean, he's been so good in his starts here that you'd say to yourself, you know, this was a $1.3 million gamble, which in today's dollars in baseball is very, very low. And so you took a big gamble and now you've won that gamble. I would think, and I don't know for sure because I have no more insight into the mind of Chris Getz and what he's thinking about, nor what he's been offered for Hauser. But I would think this would be his last start as far as the White Sox are concerned, because if I'm a contending team, I want to get as many starts as I possibly can out of him. And hopefully he can be the same guy that he's been since he put on a White Sox uniform, because he hasn't been good. He's been great.
Stoney, great to have you back. I will see you over the weekend, and have a wonderful weekend for Cubs Sox. Should be fun.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully Mother Nature cooperates, and have a good show, guys. I'll talk to you down the road.
You got it. That's Steve Stone, our guy, talking a little bit of Cubs and White Sox with us.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
You got some good drops from him in there, and a good story about Ozzy.
Should be able to play, is what I was told from a very good weather and baseball source. Certainly could be a delay, probably 30% chance of a delay, but should be able to play tonight.
All right. That's cool. Mm-hmm. We'll get the game on. You know who I just saw walk into the studio?
Is it Tim Hardaway?
Yep.
Come on, man.
Tim Hardaway's doing some good stuff in the city. He's going to be at Diet Academy over on 51st Street tomorrow.
Who's got it better than us? We get to hang out with Tim Hardaway in the studio? Let's roll.
We sure do. Tim Hardaway is in studio next on The Score.